Change my life by the power of the Word. Change me. Move me to higher ground. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. All right, those of you that have just joined us, I want you to write this title across your notes. We're talking really about times and seasons. How to be sensitive to the times and seasons that come in your life. Some, of course, are sent from God. We've said there are times and seasons of spiritual warfare. There are times and seasons that you can set with your own faith and wisdom. And so there's a variety of kinds of times, but the subtitle, and I want you to write this down because we're really going to get into this tonight, is how to develop your spiritual sensitivity. How to develop your spiritual sensitivity. Now, those that have been able to be at some of the morning sessions, we're going to hit on some things that we've talked about there. But I don't think it's possible for a people to develop and increase their spiritual sensitivity unless we really get a good handle on how God has made us. Now, I want you to write this phrase down. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. I want you to write that phrase down, and that's a great phrase to commit to memory. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say it with me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. One more time. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, by soul, we've mentioned this, and I'm reviewing a little bit. We're talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so, don't confuse the soul with the spirit. The spirit is the God-like part of you. God breathed, we're going to see this in the Genesis account, God breathed really His breath, His spirit into that physical container, and it says man became a living soul. Let's look at this, Genesis chapter 2, and I want you to mark verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Would you please underline that? That's the physical container. That's the body. That's the physical container. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, mark this, the breath of life. All right? The word breath means spirit. Spirit can be translated breath or wind. So on the day of Pentecost, when it says a mighty wind came, you know, into the upper room, they knew exactly what that was. In the Hebrew mind, when they sensed that wind come in, they knew that was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The word spirit, pneuma, can be translated air, breath, or wind. He says he created him of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and this is really significant. We want to home in on this part tonight. And man became a living soul. A living soul. Everybody say a living soul. You see, it's one thing that just have a mind, will, and emotions. It's another thing to have a living soul. And if you go to, you know, go to any shopping center and you look at people's eyes, their eyes can tell many times what's the condition on the inside. And people don't really have a living soul. Many times people have a depressed soul. You know, a downcast soul. I mean, you can just look at them and tell on the inside their mind, will, and emotions. They may be discouraged. They may be depressed. They may be, you know, under some type of heavy burden or pressure on them. It's anything but a living soul. And in the beginning, now this is before sin. Don't miss this. This is before sin. Adam and Eve, they had souls, that is mind, will, and emotions, that was charged with life. What kind of life? The life of God. In other words, they weren't like us. They didn't have to stop and think, you know, oh man, I should have prayed today. Oh, golly, I missed my devotional time. Oh, shame on me. I really need to think about God more. No, when they were walking in the garden, they were in communion and fellowship and union. Their soul was intermeshed and interfused. Their soul was impregnated, as it were, with the very Spirit of God. And so that's why it says a living soul. Everybody say a living soul. Now look closely at verse 7. Look closely at verse 7. Where do you imagine the living part of the soul came from? If you look closely at verse 7, it's obvious. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? The breath of what? Uh-huh. All right, there we go. Isn't this remarkable? This is really the pinnacle of creation. I mean, God had, you know, flung the stars into orbit and God had created the physical universe. God had created the earth and separated the sky and so forth. And now at some moment in time, we don't know how God did it, but at some moment in time, some of the dust, some of the dirt of the very ground began to come together and take shape as a human body. Take shape as a human body. All of a sudden there appeared a face, but there's no life. God breathed down and breathed into his nostrils. And you know, it's so interesting that in our day and time, you know, we know about CPR and communicating life. And it's just interesting. The account is more accurate than I think we may realize. God breathed into his nostrils. That's his air pipe, his windpipe. God breathed spirit and man became a living soul. Instantly there was blood pressure. Instantly there was consciousness. Instantly there was respiration. And there had to be some moment in time, for the very first time, the man opened his eyes and looked into the face of God. That's awesome. I wonder what they said to each other. Think about that. I wonder what they said to each other. Hello, God. Well, hello, man. Hello, God. Well, hello, man. Hello, God. Get up, man. Quit laying there. I didn't create you to grovel in the dust and the dirt like the snake does. I didn't create you to grovel. You are to be in dominion. You are created like me. You are created in a different class than the vegetation. You're created in a different class than any other created thing. You are created like me. You are a spirit. And you have a soul, a living soul. And you live in this container that was destined to live forever before sin, forever. You know, we kind of get accustomed to things that really aren't normal. For instance, if you ask the average person, is death normal? They would say, sure, death is normal. Well, it's normal in this world. But in the beginning, when God created, it wasn't the norm. Aging, death, that wasn't the norm. Everybody say, thank God for the resurrection. Everybody say, thank God for the resurrection. You know, you can have all the victory you want on this earth. My daddy went to be with the Lord in October. You can have all the victory, and we should. We should believe God for victory. We should walk in dominion. We are to be in dominion. We're not to be dominated. But when it's all said and done, thank God for the resurrection. We win in the end anyway. We win anyway. Now go back and look at this verse. Verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's the physical container. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the spirit. And man became a soul charged with life. A living soul. Now we don't have time to, you know, expound on all of the detail of this account. But man had supernatural intelligence. I want you to write that down. The living soul that was charged with God's spirit had supernatural intelligence. Intelligence far beyond what we can comprehend. How do I know that? Because it was not God that named every living creature. It was who? It was Adam. Adam named every living creature. Now, folks, come on, come on, come on, come on. Quit being religious. You know how many little living creatures there are on this earth? Have you ever looked under a microscope? Just the creeps. It says the creeps that creep upon the face of the earth. I mean, just the creeps will make you go cross-eyed. Amen. Just look through a microscope sometime. Look down there at all those creeps. They got amoebas. They got amoebas with one hair hanging out. They got amoebas with a bunch of hair hanging out. All kind of ugly looking things under microscopes. And Adam named every living creature, and that was the name of it. He had a mind, a mental capacity that was so charged with the very spirit and knowledge of God, his intelligence was supernatural compared to what we now know. When they sinned, the intelligence became darkened and alienated from the life of God. The soul no longer had the capacity or the aspect of a living soul. It was a darkened, fallen soul. Somebody says, can you give me a word picture? Yeah, it's about like comparing a raisin. About like comparing a raisin to a mountain. I mean, the kind of thought processes we have now is like comparing a raisin. What we've got now is about like a raisin compared to a mountain. Everybody say a living soul. Living soul. Woo, everybody say, I want a living soul. Now, this is important. Watch this. This is important because when we talk about developing your spiritual sensitivity, and in a moment we're going to start saying, okay, number one, you need to do this. Number two, you need to do this. What we're talking about is being restored in part back to what God originally intended here in the garden, where the spirit, watch this, the spirit and our mind begin to interfuse once again, and we can draw on the spiritual capacity that goes beyond the soul that is apart from God. Man became a living soul. He had supernatural intelligence. Write this down. He also had supernatural provision. Provision. He didn't have to, you know, scratch out of the earth what he was going to have. He was put in a garden. Everything he needed for life was there. There were rivers there. There was vegetation there. And it says there was gold there. Supernatural provision. And the third thing is divine purpose. Divine purpose. Adam was not a question mark wondering where to go. Adam knew what his mission was. What was his mission? You guard and you cultivate this garden and you multiply it until this lush provision that is upon in this garden is upon the entire sphere known as earth. That was just to be the jump off point. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no what? Of the increase of his government, there shall be no what? There shall be no end. The earth is just the jumping off point to all of God's creation. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Quickly, to the New Testament. Are you beginning to get a picture of what it was supposed to be like in the beginning? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is perhaps the closest New Testament verse that is analogous to what we've just read in Genesis. 1 Thessalonians. Make sure you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to mark verse 23. Please circle it or put a bracket around it. Verse 23. How many of you want to develop a greater degree of spiritual sensitivity in your life? You know what? If you'll do this, it'll benefit your family. It'll benefit your business. It'll benefit your ministry, whatever God's called you to do. If you can be sensitive to the times and seasons of God, if you can be sensitive to what God wants, doesn't it stand to reason that you're going to be that much further ahead of the game? Amen. How many of you believe God knows what He's doing? Well, that's about 10 of you. How many of you believe God knows what He's doing? That's a little more of you. How many of you believe God knows what He's doing?
Yes.
All right, if we can tap into what God knows, we're going to be further ahead of the game. And so we're talking about developing your spiritual sensitivity. That is, getting your raisin brain in touch with God's Spirit. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23. Paul is praying here, and he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Mark the word holy there. Some of the versions say entirely or completely. See, God's not just wanting a part of your life. God wants your whole life. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God." Now, I want you to mark these three areas because we've just read about these in Genesis. He says, "And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body." Everybody say spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
All right, didn't we just say earlier, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. What is the soul? The mind, will, and the emotions. He says, "And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now watch this. Here's Adam. Adam is charged with a living soul. He has supernatural intelligence. He has supernatural provision. He's walking in divine purpose and destiny. He's a man with a plan. He's got God's plan. He's going forward to do it. They sin. What happens? Death instantly hit Adam and Eve. Not physical death, but it was a death that began on the inside. Their spirit was pulled apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Never did God intend for the man and the woman to operate without His Spirit. Never did God intend for the man and the woman to operate without God's Spirit. Their spirit was pulled apart from God. Their mind that had once been infused, joined together with God's Spirit, a living soul, became a darkened soul. A soul that was no longer tapped into supernatural intelligence. No longer supernatural provision. No longer divine purpose, mission, and destiny. They were pulled apart from the inside out. Death started on the inside, worked its way then to the soulish realm where they began to think thoughts that weren't in line with God's will. They began to feel feelings that were not in line with God's will. They began to make choices that weren't in line with God's will. And watch this. Eventually, hundreds of years later, death not only had affected their spirit and their soul, death affected eventually their what? Everybody say their physical body. Everybody say their physical body. And that container that had once had the very mouth of God, as it were, over it, breathing into it life, lay down and died. And that was never the way God intended. Everybody say, thank God for Jesus. Everybody say, thank God for Jesus. See, folks, Jesus came more than just to give you fire insurance. Oh, Brother Jason, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be a Christian. Well, I want you to be a Christian, and I don't want you to go to hell either. But there's a whole lot more to it than just fire insurance. God says, I want to put you back together the way God meant for you to be. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Nobody could put him back together, but Jesus can put you back together the way God intended. Now watch it. Don't miss it. Through Jesus, the process reverses. Through Jesus, the process reverses. At the moment of salvation, however that may have happened in your life, walking the aisle, praying a silent prayer, growing up in a good Christian home and just coming into the knowledge of the Lord, it doesn't really matter. After you are a Christian, watch this, your human spirit is joined to the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God seals your spirit unto the day of redemption. And that process of life begins to work its way out. Just like death worked its way out, life is in the process of working its way out. And the first place it wants to go is into the soul. So that your soul that's darkened and alienated from the life of God can be once again charged. Remember that old commercial? I think it was the Ford commercial. They'd have a little light bulb. They'd go, ching, Ford has a better idea. Everybody say, God has a better idea. Everybody say, God has a better idea. You know, that's so true. I mean, Isaiah 55, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I got a better thought. My ways are not your ways. I got better ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above man's ways. I'm paraphrasing. But I believe God has a better idea. Amen. See, our little old raisin. I mean, I don't care if you got a PhD. I don't care if you've got so many degrees, people think you're a thermometer. Amen. I mean, it's okay to have intelligence. It's okay to have accumulated and acquired knowledge. I mean, go for it. But you've got to concede this. If God has any part at all in your framework, if God has any part at all in your conceptual framework of the world around you, don't you think it stands to reason that God knows a little bit more than your teeny-tiny brain? And don't you think that it stands to reason if you could get your brain and your thoughts hooked up to God's Spirit, you'd be that far ahead of whatever it is that you're trying to stay ahead of? Amen. Amen. That's the enemy. All right, now we begin to understand. Look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God says, I'm not just interested in you getting fire insurance. I'm not just interested in your spirit, man. I want your soul. I want your mind. I want your will. I want your emotions. I want your physical body. See, even in this world, even if you walk with the Lord, even if your mind becomes attuned, that is, we're talking about sensitivity, attuned to the thoughts of God, one day, if Jesus tarries one day, every one of us in this auditorium will die. Well, didn't get an amen on that one, did we?
That's right.
But that's a fact. Everybody in this auditorium will die if Jesus tarries. But guess what the promise is? Your physical body will be resurrected. I am a spirit. My spirit is eternal. I have a soul. And I live in a body. And God is not going to be outdone by the devil on any account. God says, you may take it and you may crumble it to dust. But I have marked it. I have tagged it with my Holy Spirit. And though the atoms and the molecules be scattered to the uttermost part of the earth, I will draw them together again. And there shall be a resurrected body.
Amen.
Whew, man, praise God. I remember when they took me, I don't know why I'm getting off on this, but I remember when they took me, my daddy had died and they said you could come and be with the body. I just lay across his body. I just wept. I mean, this is the man that I went fishing with. You have to understand, I knew it was a container, but this is not my dad, but it's part of my dad. We go fishing together. You know, we went hunting together. And I just lay across my dad's body and I just wept. And I just heard the sweet Holy Spirit just whispering in my ear, he's not here. He's with me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then I began to prophesy out of my own mouth. I said, I believe that this self-same body shall be quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit and shall rise again from the dead, a glorified body. And my Father shall be reunited with His body and He shall rule and reign upon this earth with Jesus Christ forever. Hallelujah! Folks, that just gets me shouting excited. How about you? If that doesn't turn you on, you don't got a turn on button. Amen. All right, look at verse 23. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord. Now, everybody say how. Everybody say how. Sound like a bunch of Indians in here. How? How? Everybody say, how can I develop my spiritual sensitivity? Say it. How can I develop my spiritual sensitivity? Let me just kind of point this out. This is not the order we'll take it in, but I think it's interesting. Look at the verses above verse 23. It kind of looks like just disjointed stuff, you know. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Let's say it. Rejoice evermore. All right, look at verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Let's say it. Pray without ceasing. Look at verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then look at verse 19. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. He starts talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know what Paul's doing? He is presenting specific items that if you will begin to work these items in your life, you will begin to be put back together, spirit, soul, and body, the way God intended for you to be. You know, here's the typical philosophy of most Christians. Well, I tell you, if God wants to find me, He knows where I live. I mean, if God wants to speak to me and if He wants to show me anything, God's got my telephone number, He can find me. God says, I want you to do something. Well, what do I do, Lord? Rejoice evermore. That's a worship passage. The more you worship, we're going to be talking a little bit about this tonight. The more you worship, you tune your soul to what the Spirit knows. Are you hearing me? I'm not trying to train my spirit. I'm trying to train my soul. My spirit man's been joined to the Holy Spirit. It's my soul that's in sad shape. I need my mind, will, and emotions tuned up tuned up to what? The Holy Spirit. We'll look at the next one. Pray without ceasing. All right, if I'll pray, guess what? That is something I can do that will help me get tuned in so that spirit, soul, and body can come back in the divine order that God intended. Am I making sense? All right, he mentions the gifts of the Spirit very generally, verses 19 and 20. He says, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. In other words, let her rip. Everybody say, let her rip.
Let her rip.
Everybody say, crank it up.
Crank it up.
Amen. He says, don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit's in you. Don't quench it. What does quench it mean? It means, well, I don't know, we better not get into that, you know, kind of pushing the Spirit. I say, let the Spirit flow. How? Despise not prophesying. Not only prophesying, he's talking about praying in the Spirit and interpreting your prayer language, all the gifts of the Spirit. He said, if you'll let that flow, what will happen? It builds up to verse 23, and God will put you back together, spirit, soul, and body. Now look at verse 24, and it makes sense. Look at verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also what? Faithful is he who calleth you, who will also what? Now see, that's God's part. If all you had was verse 24, you'd say, well, I guess God's supposed to do it. Uh-uh. Go back to verse 16. There's things you do. You rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Get into the glad attitude. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. He says, in everything give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophecy. You do your part. Then, yes, faithful is he who called you, who will also put you back together the way that God intended. The way that God intended. Now, let me tell you this little story. How many of you have ever been to the doctor's office? Isn't that just to make your day? Amen. You know, just something about the doctor's office, you know, the smell of the alcohol swabs. It's just inspiring to walk in there and just smell the alcohol swabs. Hallelujah. Some years ago, you know, I had a typical appointment to go in there, and I think it was a flight physical, if I remember right, as a pilot. And so I was sitting out there, and have you ever noticed that in doctor's offices, they're all about the same. They got like 10-year-old magazines laying around, you know, that nobody really wants to read, but you read them. And so you're sitting there in the doctor's office, and have you noticed they've got that little window, that frosted window, you know what I'm talking about? And it's, you can see shadows moving back there, and you're kind of waiting for them to call your name. And so there I was, and, you know, you kind of size people up. Don't look at me so holy. I know you do the same thing. You sit and kind of in the, you try to look healthy. Uh-huh, I'm healthy. And so, you know, people walk in, you kind of go, gross, man, I wonder what kind of disease he's got, you know. And you're just like, boy, you know, with all these communicable diseases, I don't want to sit next to him, you know. So you walk up, get a magazine, and go across the little lobby there, you know. And you're reading stuff that you don't want to read. And so in that little silly situation, finally the little frosted window opened. And they said, Mr. Peebles. So I walk, stand up, try to walk healthy. I'm just here for a fight physical, you understand, praise God, you know. And have you know, they take you down the little corridor, and you're wondering which cubicle is going to be your cubicle. And have you noticed they always have the air conditioner turned on hypo drive? How many of you have noticed that? And it's like they take you to this little room, this little cubicle, and it's like they've got 1,000 megawatts of lights in this room. And there's no windows normally, you know, and there's all the little instruments sitting around. And it always upsets me a little bit because I'm a kind of a private person. But the last thing the nurse says, the nurse generally says, the doctor will be here in a moment, which that's a lie. They're never coming in a moment. The doctor will be here in a moment, and you may take your clothes off. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just like, I don't really want to hear that. You know, take your clothes off. Because there's never locks on the doors. Have you ever checked that? Anybody done that other than me? There's never locks on the doors. And so I'm afraid I'm going to be in there having to obey the nurse's last command, and they're going to forget this is my cubicle. And so, you know, I'm going to stand there, hey, come on in, Gertrude. We got room in here. Yeah, all right. And so I was standing there in my shorts. It's kind of hard to act dignified in your shorts. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of walk around in your briefs. I'm cool. I'm real cool. Turn the air conditioner down. Amen. And I'd hear noise down the hall. It's like, you know, you get tense. Oh, my God. This is my cubicle. Anybody? Hey, we can all relate to this. And, you know, what do you do in those little cubicles? Well, you try to sit, you know, you sit on that crunchy paper. You know what I'm saying? And then she kind of shows a bottom imprint. You go, oh, my God, they're going to know I sat on the crunchy paper. You know, and so you try to straighten it out. And you're not supposed to be messing with none of those instruments in there, but everybody does. I know they do. And I'm not a thief, but, I mean, just the spirit of thievery comes on me, and it's like, I want a tongue depressor. I don't know why I want a tongue depressor. I want one of those tongue depressors. And so you kind of one ear's listening out for the guy down the hall, and you're kind of playing with the knee knocker, you know, the knee knocker, and looking at the little ear deal, you know what I'm saying? And I am going somewhere with the story, believe it or not. Don't know why I did it, but I did it. There's two tuning forks laying there. And I picked up one of the tuning forks and I struck it. And a very scientific project, standing in my briefs, I struck it. And it began to, vibrate and make a noise. I don't know why I did it, but I did. I picked up the other one. I did not strike the second one. And I just brought it up here. And you know what happened? The vibrations from the first one jumped over to the second one, and they're both now vibrating exactly alike. And I tell you, in that little silly situation, the Holy Spirit taught me a lesson. I heard God in my heart just say, Jason, you're going to vibrate like what you hang around. Jason, you're going to vibrate like what you hang around. You're going to be tuned to what you hang around. Are you getting anything out of this? Now, I want my soul to at least in part go back and recapture what Adam and Eve had in the beginning. I want my soul to be charged with the Spirit of God. I want my soul to vibrate. Remember those old songs? Good vibrations. I want the good vibrations of the Holy Spirit. I want the thoughts of God, the plans of God, the direction of God. I want that to be alive in me. How many of you want that? Well, you're not going to get it watching R-rated movies because that's what you're going to vibrate like. You're not going to get it listening to worldly music. That's what you're going to get tuned to. I mean, you're dreaming. You're dreaming if you think you can expose yourself to crud and then come over here and be some spiritual giant. I mean, you're dreaming. That's like an Olympic athlete thinking that they can eat, 100 Almond Joy bars every day. And then just some miracle way, when the day of reckoning comes, they're going to go out there and be a champion. No, they're deceived. They're deceived. Now, I want to begin to give you some keys on how to develop your spiritual sensitivity. And then we will continue this tomorrow night. And I want to say this right up front. This is by no means all of them. I'm sure that you can find others in the Word of God. I just showed you a list that goes through quite a number of them. We'll pick out some of these. And Paul, he was just throwing some out, I guess, that were on the top of his head. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. He's saying these are the things that will allow God to put you back together, spirit, soul, and body. All right, number one. Top of the list, I believe, on how to develop your spiritual sensitivity. And I'll read it to you several times so you can get it down. Start praying for and thanking God for increased spiritual sensitivity. Start praying for and thanking God for increased spiritual sensitivity. One more time. Start praying for it and thanking God for it. For what? Increased spiritual sensitivity. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 1. And of course, I encourage you to write these references down as I give them to you. Colossians chapter 1. How many of you are getting something tonight? Colossians chapter 1. We're talking times and seasons. Flowing with the times and seasons spiritually. You can't do that unless you're spiritually sensitive. So it behooves us to find out how can we be spiritually sensitive, so I can flow with what God wants. Now, you say, well, that's really simple. You'd be amazed how, again, I would say the majority of Christians, they don't even give thought to this, much less pray for it and ask for it. It's kind of like the old idea, well, if God wants me to have it, I guess He'll wrestle me down and find me. No, we need to start hungering. Jesus had a lot to say about hungering, thirsting, ask, seek, knock. It's mentioned in a number of ways. The whole posture of, I'm desperate, God. I'm hungry. I need You. Say it. I need You. Say it. I need. I'm telling you what, our mental faculties have fallen so far below what God originally intended. I mean, we're in the dark, and I don't mean that in any figurative sense of the imagination. We are in the dark. Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to mark verses 9 through 12. Paul gives us a wonderful prayer to pray. How many of you believe if it was good enough for one of the apostles, then it ought to be good enough for us? I said, how many of you believe if it was good enough for one of the apostles, it ought to be good enough for us? Look what he says here in verse 9. Paul says, chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it. Heard of what? Well, they had become Christians. We do not cease to pray for you. Now I want you to mark what he prays for. He says, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, you know, you believers at Colossae, I'm excited you're now believers. I'm excited you're Christians, but let's don't stop there. That's not enough. I've been focusing my prayers that you'll begin to tap in. Your mind will begin to grasp what God wants to do in your life. You'll begin to grasp that supernatural intelligence. You'll begin to grasp that destiny and purpose. Be filled up with wisdom and understanding that only comes by the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm praying for this. I'm praying for this. Let's read on. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that phrase, spiritual understanding, I'd encourage you to circle that. That's an interesting phrase in itself. It's the Spirit up in your understanding. I mean, that's just what we're talking about. It's the Spirit, spiritual what? Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit bringing His ways, His plans, His thoughts, those business deals, ministry moves, family moves, whatever. The spiritual understanding. In other words, your mind is all of a sudden, ching, the light comes on. Oh, I see what the Holy Spirit wants. Spiritual understanding, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Circle the word fruitful. You're not going to be fruitful unless you can understand what God wants. You're not going to be fruitful unless you can understand what God wants. Being fruitful in every good work and, mark it, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I'm going to say something that I hope you get the import of this as I intend it. You really can't please God until you find out what God wants you to do. I'm going to say it again. You really can't please God, and maybe I should add, to the degree He wants you to please Him, if you haven't found out what God wants you to do. I mean, you're just going in circles. You're creating your own plan and doing your own thing out there. You really can't. God's up there saying, you know, I've got a destiny for you. Kyle, I've got a destiny for you. I've got a plan. I got a miracle mission for you. And I want you to please me. Now, you know, if somebody's down here going, well, I really don't want that plan. I just want to do my own thing. That doesn't please God. How many of you know that we please God by obeying God? And He says, being fruitful, producing that which God wants you to produce. You know, we get real religious with these passages. If you ask, Brother Doodad, you know, in Sunday school, Brother Doodad, what do you think fruit means?
Well, fruit.
You know, we get real religious.
Fruit?
Yes, Brother Doodad. What does fruit mean in this passage?
Oh, fruit.
Well, I just believe fruit.
And we always get the top of the list, winning souls. Well, that is a fruit, but watch this. Fruit here is achieving and accomplishing God's will and mission for your life. Now, it could include souls, and I think we should be soul winners. But the way you please God is tap into what He wants you to do and then get about the Father's business. But you're not going to be able to do it without His strength. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Please circle a little phrase, with joyfulness. How many of you know sometimes there's long suffering? Want me to give you a definition for long suffering? It's long suffering. That's the definition for long suffering. It means it's not going to be easy street. I wish I could just, you know, I used to have this philosophy. If it's God, it'll just flow. Praise God. If it's God, it'll just flow. I've since learned this. If it's God, get your battle armor on. I had this vision in my mind once. And I was in heaven, and I saw these two groups of warriors. And they were dressed in the old, you know, Middle Ages armor, the helmet and all this stuff. I saw these guys over there. They were standing there, shiny. I mean, the sun was glistening off of them. They had their swords in their hand. I mean, they were just beautiful to behold. I saw this other group that was over there, and they were on one knee, and their visors were up. And I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but they were just kind of drooling out their mouth and sweat was pouring out. Their armor was all dinged up and just kind of looked all, you know, with no shine to it at all. And they were just, and I saw Jesus and I thought, well, who's He going to call for? And he reached over to the ones who were on one knee. He says, come forward to receive the reward of the Lord. I said, why? He said, these guys have been over there shining their armor, doing nothing. He said, these guys over here, he said, they just stand there looking at themselves in the shine. He said, these have been out there fighting the battle. That's why they're all dinged up. That's why they're all sweaty. He said, come and receive the reward of the Lord. Huh? I'm telling you, if it's God, it's not going to always be easy. I wouldn't be a good Bible teacher if I was going to tell you it's always going to be easy. There's going to be some tough times, long suffering, with joyfulness. Everybody smile. Oh, Brother Jason, I'm happy. Well, inform your face. Oh, I'm excited. Inform your mouth. Everybody go. Long suffering. That was about seven of you. Everybody say long suffering. With joyfulness. Mm-hmm. All right. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All right, now go with me to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2.
Brother Jason, now, you say that I should begin to pray for this.
Yes, you should begin to pray for this.
How would you suggest I do that?
Open your mouth and begin to pray.
You mean out loud?
Yes. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. How many of you believe that once we know what God knows, we could call that wisdom? Let me put it another way. How many of you believe if we know what God knows, that's wisdom? A lot of different definitions to wisdom, and Jeff's been doing a tremendous job teaching on wisdom. You know, real simply, if I know what God knows, then I've tapped into some wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, my daughter, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear. Circle that phrase. We're talking about being spiritually sensitive. We're talking about tuning in. Digital lock. Heaven, 77.7 on the dial. It says, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Now, don't miss verse 3. Yes, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, Brother Jason, what do you think cry means here? It means, say, like, Lord, give me your wisdom. I want to be spiritually sensitive. That's what it means. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. I mean, we're talking a hungry person here. You know, a person who's self-sufficient, they won't pray. A person who's self-sufficient, they're embarrassed to ask. They're just going about their own way, doing their own thing. Every one of us in this room, I bet you we've got situations that you would love to have about a 15-minute counseling session with Jesus. How many of you have got something right now? It could be financial, business, a relationship, something. That if you could just talk with Jesus, you would take that appointment. How many of you do that? Well, I'm here to tell you, He is in you. Well, how do I tap into it? Lift up your voice. Begin to ask. Pray for it. And thank God for it. Thank you, Lord, that I'm becoming spiritually sensitive. Thank you, Lord, that you're helping my ear to tune in to what you know. Lord, thank you that you're helping my soul to become a living soul. Lord, your ways are above my ways. You just begin to pray out loud. Maybe in your office or maybe in your truck or your automobile when you're driving around, nobody's with you. Just, you mean in public? You know, the public, they're not going, can I blow smoke out? They'll blow smoke in your face. How many of you know that? You know, the world's not embarrassed about anything anymore. And Christians are like, well, I don't know, we might offend somebody. I had this guy pull up beside me in a black Trans Am. I was in my van, and it sounded like a herd of natives pulled up. You ever heard one of those cars that just vibrates with the music? It was just I mean, you know, you could just feel it more and hear it, and it's just like, what is that? UFO, what is that? You know, and there's this black Trans Am, and this guy was in there. Have you ever seen these guys singing to their own? They think they're really singing good, I guess. They really fantasize that their voice sounds like that tape. And this guy was in there going, and you know, he was just getting with the tape, you know. And I sat there and I looked at that. I thought, look at this guy. Look at this guy. He's not embarrassed. He's not worried about what I'm thinking. I mean, he's just, and so I thought, why should I be embarrassed? And he kind of went and looked up at me, and his eyes caught mine, and I went, Se lo pore shiki basanda, Jesus is my Lord, I love Him so, I praise God, I praise God. He looked at me, he looked through that van like, he thought, who else is in that van? He finally realized nobody else is in that van. And when the light turned, he was a little faster than me. He took that Trans Am on around me. Like, whoa, get away from this guy. I thought, oh, well, you know, I don't know him. He doesn't know me. Ships passing in the night. All right, here we go. Look at verse 3, Proverbs 2, verse 3. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then, circle the word then, you don't get it until you do this. You don't get the treasure till you seek for the treasure. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find, here it is, mark it, the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Don't miss this. Watch this. We open our mouth, God opens His mouth. We open our mouth and cry for wisdom and knowledge. And look at the last verse we just read. God, out of His mouth cometh wisdom and understanding. Now, folks, if somebody said, you know, we have discovered that DeSoto or one of these guys, you know, came through Hayes, and we've discovered that there's gold and silver bullion buried on your property. Do you think you'd have to fast and pray 40 days and 40 nights before you do something? Honey, you'd be out there digging in the night. Don't look at me so holy. I know you would. You wouldn't be caring what... Well, you know, honey, the neighbors might see us. Honey, you'd be out there digging in the dirt. Why? There's silver. There's gold. Might be rubies, diamonds. I mean, I want the stuff. Everybody say the stuff. You get it. Now, you know, wisdom is better than silver. What God knows is better than rubies. If I had a big old pile of silver and gold here and a big old pile of wisdom, which would you want? I know some of you would run like this. Both of them. I'll tell you why you want wisdom. If you get the gold and the silver, once it's spent, it's spent. If you get God's wisdom, it'll show you how to keep on making silver and gold and do what you need to do. It's perpetuating. I mean, I'd rather have both, amen. But if we got to have one, we're going to go for the wisdom. Everybody say the wisdom. So how do you begin to develop spiritual sensitivity? It's real easy. Number one, you get hungry. Start praying for and thanking God for increased spiritual sensitivity. Paul told the believers at Colossae, he said, that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that you're going to get that spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge up in your understanding, that you can be fruitful and begin to do what God wants you to do. Proverbs, it's full of this. He says, lift your voice, cry out for it, get hungry. Jesus said, ask. In the original language, that's keep on asking. Jesus said, knock. It's keep on knocking. Seek, keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking. That hungry heart. All right, number two. The second how-to for developing spiritual sensitivity. Are you getting something? Yes. Number two is become addicted to God's Word. I believe this was covered in one of the morning sessions. Become addicted to God's Word. And please add this. Make God's Word the guiding force in your life. Become addicted to God's Word. Make God's Word the guiding force in your life. Proverbs chapter 6. Just hang a right. Just hang a right. Proverbs chapter 6. Now, folks, this on Christmas Eve, I can remember trying to do some things in my own energy without checking with some instructions. And it's like, you know, that thing did not look like the picture on the box. And finally, you know, about 11 o'clock, I said, I think I'm going to look at the instructions. How many of you think we ought to look at the owner-operator manual on how we're supposed to be put together? Another way I like to explain this, the Bible is God's love letter to you. How many of you remember when you got some love letters? Some of you can't remember that far back. How many of you remember when you got some love letters? I remember when my wife and I were courting, you know, and we had met at Oral Roberts University, and we had to spend one summer apart, and it's like, you know, we just wrote all the time, back and forth. And I mean, when I went to the mailbox, and there was a letter from Martha Webster, that was her maiden name, Martha Webster, I didn't just casually say, oh, another letter. I think I'll read that next week. I think I'll just put that on the table, and, you know, if the pastor comes over, then I'll probably read that. I mean, when I got that letter, honey, everything else went by the wayside. Rip into the letter. I mean, every little comma could make a difference. Dear Jason, I really, she underlined really, love you. She really love you. Really love me. And you know, I mean, you just hang on every word. What she mean by that? Look at that. Oh, yeah, there's a comma there. What, that changes everything. I mean, when you are madly in love, you read those love letters. Am I right? You smell it. Oh, yes, yes. She sprayed it with some perfume. Hallelujah. Now, folks, this is God's love letter. This is God's love letter. And we have the audacity to read it this way. Oh, see, the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me sleep. We ought to take this book and just, I mean, pour into it. Oh, yes, the anointing is all over it. Praise God that you can do all things through Christ who... You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's me. And you begin to read this from a different posture than just a historical book with myth and legend. This is God's owner-operator manual. Am I right? Now, if you want to be spiritually sensitive, and here's what I'm getting at. People do this all the time. Oh, Lord, speak to me. And they're waiting for a Charlton Heston experience. Like in the movie Moses.
Jason.
Yeah. Oh, yes, God. And we'd love for it to happen in church where everybody else could see it.
Remove thy shoes from off of thy feet. Second thought, put them back on.
And how many of you would like to hear God? How many of you would like to hear God? Folks, this book is God speaking to you. Now, don't miss this. If we don't take the time to study and read what God has already spoken, why in the world should we expect God to give us any further information? Oh, but Brother Jason, I want to be spiritually sensitive. This is the tuning fork that's vibrating. This is the tuning fork. You get your heart and get your mind and get your soul in proximity to God's Word. You will begin to think like this book. You will begin to think God's thoughts. You will begin to understand God's way. You will become sensitive to what God has already revealed. And then if the Holy Spirit needs to lead you in a different direction, you can judge it and properly discern it because you know what the owner-operator manual has said. All right, look at this. Proverbs 6. Go to verse 23. Or 22 and 23. 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Would you mark that? What will lead you? God's Word. His commandments, His law. Verses 20 and 21 talks about the Word of God and so forth. Verse 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Everybody say, lead me.
Lead.
Everybody say, lead me.
Lead.
It says, when thou sleepest, it shall keep or guard thee. And when thou awakest, here's what I want you to mark and not miss, it shall talk with thee. Did you know the primary way that God begins to communicate to a person is through His Word? I have had the most goofy things told to me that were God and they weren't any such a thing. People come and say, well, the Lord told me this. And they begin to tell you something and you already know it's not God because it's contrary to the Word of God. God will never contradict what He's already given in His Word. I'm all for prophecy. I'm all for praying in the Spirit, interpreting once it lines up with the Word. But you start chasing some rabbit trail over here that contradicts the Word of God, you are following a deceived trail. Look at it again. Verse 22, it shall talk with thee. How many of you want God to talk with you? Well, the beginning point is the Word will come alive and begin to counsel you. Let me show you this in the New Testament. Go with me to St. John 14. St. John 14. Man, this is a powerful verse. Don't miss this one. The primary way the Holy Spirit begins to talk to us is the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus has said. I want to say that again. Mark it down in your notes. John chapter 14. We're going to John chapter 14. The primary way the Holy Spirit wants to begin to communicate to you is by reminding you. Everybody say, reminding me. Everybody say, reminding me. Of what? Of God's Word. Now, folks, if you don't know the Word of God, what does the Holy Spirit have to use? It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The first thing the Holy Spirit wants to use in your life is the Word of God. And so if you're ignorant of this book, the Holy Spirit has a very difficult time getting to you. About the best He can do is get you under some good preaching or teaching, and maybe you'll hear something that'll, you know, ring the bell or hit the nail on the head. Somebody else is kind enough to pray for you, but I thank God for people praying for me, and I thank God for good teaching and preaching, but I'd like to know how to tap into it myself. Look at this, St. John 14, Mark verse 26. Now this is in red, amen? Should be in red in your Bible. Somebody says, it's not in red. Well, get you a red letter edition, amen? Verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, please mark this, he shall teach you all things, and don't miss it, and bring all things to your remembrance. Can I put that in Jason Peebles' talk? The Holy Spirit will remind you, help you to recall whatsoever I, Jesus, have said unto you. So, if I meditate in this book, if I study this, if I read it, then the Holy Spirit has something to get hold of in my mind. Now, one of my degrees was in psychology, and we had different, we studied different theories of learning. I don't know if you ever get any thought to this, but this is quite interesting. Did you know you are probably more literally what you've been exposed to than you realize? Let me explain that. How do people learn? Well, basically they boiled it down to two things. Electrochemical reactions in the brain. You see something, goes through your eye. You hear something, goes through your ear. It stimulates the neurological system. And through a process of electro and chemical reactions, you remember those old things, the synapses and the charges going across there in the neurological system in the brain? You are storing memory that is literally electrochemical. Here's the point. Literally, physically, you are becoming what you are observing. It's literally becoming a part of you through chemical and electrical reactions in your brain. When I study the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, and it is stored literally through electrochemical, I am literally putting on the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is being put into my organ called my brain, and I am taking on the very mind of God. Why? This book reveals the thoughts and the attitudes and the principles and the keys and the mind of God. It's literally becoming part of me. Not figuratively, literally. You've heard people say, well, I changed my mind. Everybody say, I changed my mind. That's what you need to do. You need to change your brain, change your mind. Take out your mind, put God's mind in there. What? God's thoughts, God's ways. God's thoughts, God's ways. Why? Then the Holy Spirit, can I come? Sneak it up. Holy Spirit, He's in you. He comes up into your soul. Ah! And grabs those verses that you read. Grabs that area that you studied in the Word of God and reminds you. It's the sword. And He begins to lead you and talk to you with that. And you become spiritually sensitive. Why? The Holy Spirit's got something to get hold of. He reminds you. Everybody say, He reminds me. How many of you getting something out of this? Now, you know, if you watch R-rated movies and porno this and porno that, and you listen to all this rock and roll and country western garbage, and then you stand over here, God, speak to me. The only thing that it recalls in your brain is, my 18-wheeler's going down the road. My wife just left me. I mean, you're just recalling all that stuff. Or some dumb rock and roll song. You know, I mean, they used to, the names of the groups used to be pretty harmless. The Beatles. Used to name them bugs, you know. Animals. The Monkees. Now it's a little bit more serious. Megadeth. Hey, everybody needs some of that. Get a hold of that deal right there. Put that in your brain. Poison. Oh, yeah, I need a couple of shots of that every day. Twisted Sister. Every family needs a few of them running around. All right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I mean, you know, we listen to the world stuff, and then we wonder why we're not spiritually sensitive. There's no mystery. There's no mystery. We must meditate in the Word of God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Amen. I mean, you're learning things. You're learning how to be spiritually sensitive. Most Christians have never even considered this subject. Most Christians have never even considered this subject. They're just kind of coasting through life, hoping that the lightning bolt of God will come down one day and rescue them. Romans chapter 12. You know, if Christians have a Bible, it's usually got a very nice place on the coffee table. Gold-leafed edition. Family genealogy. course, it's never been opened. Got magazines laying all over it. But the pastor's about to pay a visit. Woo, clean that deal off. Dust it off. So when pastor comes in, we've got our family edition. Of course, he opens it up the first time and it cracks in half. Crack. Never been opened in his life, you know. How many of you know we need to be using the Word of God more than that? Romans chapter 12, look at verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, and I want you to mark verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many of you would like to get better control of your body, for instance? I mean, you know, your drives, your passions, your desires, your body being more disciplined in certain areas. I would. Here's the ticket. Look at verse 2. Tells you how to do it. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Mark this. Mark it. By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing. You know that means going back to something before. Renew what? I want to go back to the living soul. Renewing your mind. It says, by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How do I renew it? By the Word. The power of the Word. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and let's go to verse 21. Now, you know, we say things, and again, I'm not picking on anybody. I've said this myself. But I just want to point something out to us, at least from my framework. Everybody say, I'm open to learning something new. My daddy, he used to always say this after he was saved. He'd say, you know, son, do you ever think you know everything? He said, you're more stupid than I realize. I mean, he just talked kind of earthly like that. You got to understand, he was a gambling man, came out of alcoholism, got saved. So his wisdom was kind of, wasn't quite Proverbs, but it was wisdom. Basically, to hit me upside the head. You don't know everything. You're not as smart as you think you are. Just because you can quote more Bible verses than I can, you're not smart. You got to be open to learn something. Yes, sir. Amen. But I've said this before. I've got to get the Word down in my spirit. You know, I got to get the Word down in my spirit. Well, I know what we're trying to say. We're saying that we got to get it really deep down on the inside of us. More technically, I think we ought to be saying, I got to get the Word in my soul. I mean, my spirit's already been joined to the Holy Spirit. I've got to get my soul changed. Look at verse 21, James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, the King James is real funny here. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Honey, you're not just naughty, you're superfluity naughty. Well, you know what the King James says, superfluity, that just means you're abundantly bad. Superfluity naughty. He says, get rid of your badness and get rid of your filthiness. And receive, mark it in verse 21, and receive with meekness, here it is, the engrafted Word, which is able to save your what? Not your spirit, your souls. Everybody say, my soul. What's going to save your soul? The Word getting engrafted. The Word getting engrafted. That is a perfect picture for what we now call the electrochemical reactions that take place that changes your thought processes. You actually put on different thinking processes and create, you know, different memory setups in your mind. He says, take God's Word, get it engrafted, and it saves your soul. What does it mean? It'll deliver your soul. You'll think like God. So when you come to a business opportunity, or when you come to a relationship, or when you come to a decision, you're not over here going, well, let's see, what do I want to do? You're saying, Lord, what does your Word say? Lord, what would your Word say? Holy Spirit jumps up from the inside of you, grabs that Word, brings it in, and cuts the situation like a sword. Cuts the situation like a sword. You've developed your spiritual sensitivity. All right, number 3. This is the last one for tonight. We'll just spend a moment on it, and then we'll pick it up here tomorrow. The third key for developing your spiritual sensitivity, develop the habit. You need to develop the habit of singing to the Lord throughout the day. Number 3, develop the habit of singing to the Lord throughout the day in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Develop the habit of singing to the Lord throughout the day in psalms, hymns, and what the Bible calls spiritual songs. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I was a believer for many years before I discovered this wonderful principle. You talk about getting one tuning fork vibrating in harmony with the other one, this one will do it. Have you ever been walking through a store somewhere and you hear some song and it just gets stuck in your brain? Anybody ever had that happen? And you find yourself singing some stupid song. You can't get it out of your mind. You've started vibrating like it. God inhabits the praises of what? God inhabits the praises of His what? Well, if I begin to sing to the Lord throughout the day, then God can inhabit what? Me. Not just in my spirit where He lives. The Spirit of God has a chance to come up into my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. I'm more apt to be tuned in to the Holy Ghost frequency. I'm more apt to hear God. Look at this, Ephesians 5. And let's go to verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." How many of you would rather be a wise person than a foolish person? He's going to tell you how to do it. "Redeeming the time, making the most of the opportunities, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise." Would you circle this in verse 17? "But understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, that's what we're after. Isn't that what we're after? Isn't that why we're trying to be spiritually sensitive? To understand the will of who? I said the will of who? Not your will, not self-will, not somebody else's will. The will of who? Before we read any further, I want you to do this. Draw an arrow in your Bible. Draw an arrow from verse 17 and point it down to verse 19. Draw an arrow in your Bible from verse 17 and point it right down to verse 19. Because if you'll do verse 19, then you'll be more apt to understand what the will of the Lord is. "Brother Jason, I'd like to understand what the will of the Lord is. How do I do it?" He's getting ready to tell you how to do it. He says, look at verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Now, can I elaborate on that? I mean, we laugh at this. How many of you realize if you are in a drunken stupor, it's going to be kind of hard to understand the will of God? Now, we relate that to, "Bless God, we're nice religious folks. We don't touch the stuff." Did you know there's different kind of drunkenness? I'm telling you, there's people that get drunk with videos. Oh my God, he's preaching now. There's people that get drunk with movies, magazines, romance novels, pervert novels. There, you can get drunk with a lot of things. He says, "Be not drunk, where's in excess, but," mark it, "be filled with the Spirit." Oh, Brother Jason, 10 years ago, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, they shook tambourines around my head. I said, "Shonda," and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, your problem is, though, you've been leaking real bad since then. You might have gotten filled, but you've been leaking real bad since then. You old hypocrite, you. Everybody say, "I wonder how to stay filled." Now, you know, we say, "Oh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost like it's a one-time deal." Did you know that the original language there would read it this way? Look at verse 18. "But be being filled with the Spirit." Keep on being. In the original language, it's a continuous thing. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's like your car. You don't drive your car, you know, off the lot and say, "Oh, praise God, I got a brand new 1995 automobile. Hallelujah. And they even put gas in it. Thank you, Jesus." And then you call the guy up about a week later. "I'm broke down on the side of the road. Come get me." "Well, what's the problem?" "I don't know. Just quit." Guy comes out there and you're out of gas. "Gas? It's a 1995 automobile. I paid $25,000. You mean I got to keep putting gas in this thing?" That guy's going to turn around and go, "Wow. This guy has his lights on, but nobody's home. His eggs are not totally scrambled." And he's going to turn to the little section in the owner-operator's manual called "Fill It Up." Everybody say, "Fill It Up."
Fill it up.
Now I'm going to tell you how to keep it filled up. How many of you want to know how to keep it filled up? Verse 19, and we'll end on this, and we'll pick it up here tomorrow. Circle verse 19, circle verse 19, circle verse 19. It says, "Speaking to yourselves." Now some of your versions may say, "Speaking to one another." That's fine. But look at this. Don't you imagine what you do with others, you ought to have first done a little bit with yourself? It says, "Speaking to one another," or "speaking to yourselves," either way, "in," mark it, "psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in" whose heart? Whose heart? That's why, even though if you do it with one another, ultimately you got to do it in your heart. So there's a personal application here. It doesn't matter if you read it speaking to one another, speaking to yourselves. Ultimately, you've got to sing and make melody in your heart to who? The Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to who? The Lord. Giving thanks always for all things. I mean, it gets you in a positive frame of mind. So you're walking throughout the day, and instead of turning on the radio, you catch yourself. No. Turn that off. I'm going to sing today the Lord. You're driving down the road. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. That's a psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I mean, go Hollywood with it. Amen. Just picture the angel sitting there. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Pull up next to that black Trans Am and give it to him. Praise the Lord. The Lord is my fortress and my strength. I shall not want. Lord is my high tower and my defender. Oh, Lord, I worship you and I praise you today. I'm telling you, devils are embarrassed to be around you. Because when you surround yourself with psalms, hymns, maybe you remember one of the songs you learned in church, spiritual songs, you get over there into your prayer language, some of you received that last night, you begin to sing a little bit in the spirit, spiritual songs. See, there's a difference between a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song. A psalm, you got 150 of them right there in your Bible. Turn to one of them, just start singing. I don't know a tune. Make one up. You just got to get comfortable making them up. A hymn, that's something you learn, you maybe on the screen or in your hymn book at the church you go to. What's a spiritual song? It's a song of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to sing. Man, I just get going. Hallelujah. And you know what that does? It tunes you up. Everybody say tunes you up. Everybody say tune up time. Everybody say tune up time. See, you know, you get your car running rough. Some of y'all are running rough. You take it to the mechanic. You're smart enough. But some people in their life, you know, their brain's kind of running rough. It's time for tune-up time. How can I do a tune-up? Get in the Word. Start singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Cry out for wisdom. Ask God for it. And guess what? You're getting sensitive. More sensitive spiritually. More apt to hear God and know His plan for your life. Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated, and it will help.
So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.